and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, your warrior, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion, he comforts her waste places, all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in him, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arm will judge the peoples. The coastlands spoke for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Thank you.
16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the children's message. sermon in Built on the Rock on page 8 and 9.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in high school, the really cool car was the Pontiac Trans Am with the 6.6-liter engine, tail fin, hood scoop, and the tires with the raised white letters. That was a fast, cool-looking car with cool-looking tires. Tires are kind of funny. There's a style in the look of tires. Ever since 1914, when white wall tires were first made by the Vogue Tire and Rubber Company of Chicago, Illinois, for their horse-drawn carriages, we have had many variations in the style of the sidewalls of tires. There are the wide white walls, there's the skinny white walls, there's the raised white letter tires, and then there are the plain black sidewalls, which seems to be mostly the preference nowadays. As cool as a different style of the tire sidewalls may or may not look, it doesn't really matter as far as the function of the tire. What matters is the tread, where the rubber meets the road. In churches, there are a lot of different looks and styles, different styles of buildings, different styles of worship, and church publications, and programs, and fellowship, and food. But these things are like the sidewall of the tire. It may look nice and stylish, but that is not where the rubber meets the road. In today's gospel reading, we have a fundamental truth. A foundational truth. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Who is Jesus? This was a huge question 2,000 years ago, and it remains a huge question today. It is indeed a fundamental question. It is where the rubber meets the road. Who is Jesus? Lots of people talk about Jesus. Some people shout his name as an expletive. Muslims say they believe in Jesus. So the big question is, who is Jesus? The disciples said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. People at Jesus' time are confused about Jesus' identity. That's the same problem that we have today. The Barna Research Group did a poll in 2015 entitled, "What Do Americans Believe About Jesus? Five Popular Beliefs." 92% of Americans believe Jesus was a real person who actually lived. All right. Most people believe there was a guy named Jesus. But only 56% believe that Jesus was God. 26% believe Jesus was only a religious or spiritual leader, and 18% are not sure. 46% of people believe Jesus was sinless, while 52% of Americans believe Jesus was human and committed sins like other people. Interestingly, while only 46% of Americans believe Jesus was sinless, 62% claim they have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life today. So the question is, who is this sinful Jesus that the 16% of Americans are committing their life to? Or 62% claim they made a commitment, but only 56% believe Jesus is God. Who's this normal guy, Jesus, that the other 6% are committing to? Of the 62% that have committed to Jesus, only 63% of them believe you go to heaven because of Jesus. Now, polls can be skewed depending on the questions, but this certainly shows that there is a lot of confusion about the question, who is Jesus? In our nation, there is increasingly open hostility towards people who believe that Jesus is God in flesh. Atheists will deride Christians for believing in a magical sky daddy. Others have a generic God, the the big guy upstairs. Some have reduced Jesus to a life coach who helps navigate your way through the struggles of life. So the question remains, who is Jesus? Jesus asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter gets it right. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Anointed One. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. Now, what does it mean to be the Messiah, the Christ? We'll explore that more next week when well-meaning Peter gets it very wrong. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is not your creation. He is not someone you get to mold and shape to your own understandings. Jesus is not a comforting teddy bear type figure that you can put up on the shelf and ignore most of the time and then take him down when you want to be comforted. There is a great temptation to make Jesus be who you want him to be someone that you control. But that is not Jesus. You are not Lord over Jesus. Jesus is Lord over you and all creation. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus is Lord. This is the fundamental truth of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, this is the fundamental truth. If you get this question wrong, then you get it all wrong. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus commends Peter's confession, and Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the foundation of Christ's church. This is the solid rock of your faith. This truth will prevail against the hordes of demon and evil flowing out of the gates of hell to attack the church. The church is built on this confession by Peter and the disciples who spread this truth from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. The truth is spread all over the world, even to you here in Hamilton, Ohio. And the wonderful thing about this truth is that the truth is not from you. It's not about you ginning up the necessary faith. Faith does not proceed from your own intellect or your own feelings. This truth is revealed by God. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Faith is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. What a great time to be the church. It is a wonderful time to be a Christian because we know a truth that so many people need. So many churches and denominations are all worried about style and perceptions, but so many have forgotten where the rubber meets the road. They're so busy polishing the white walls, they don't notice that the tires are flat and bald. The steel belts are showing and the stems have been cut off. In order to be more acceptable to the world, they've given up on Jesus. Confessing the real Jesus will not make us popular with the world. It may bring social and even governmental pressure. Confessing the true Jesus will not make life easier. But here we have Jesus' own promise that the church will stand and will prevail, built on the rock. In this time of generic religion and generic gods, And so many people confused about Jesus, it is a great time to be the church and confess the truth about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Built on this rock, the church will stand. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The first day member Sheila Barker died from brain cancer. Kim Lane's brother Scott has bone cancer. Jim Zarker, Rebecca's husband, who's recovering from a fall and upper femur and hip. Jim Hinkle, Governor of Urbex neighbor, suffering from COVID-19 and serious condition. For Kitty Gilly, who hurt her ankle. For Morgan Miller, the granddaughter of Dolores Bowman, who injured her neck in a soccer game and is very sore. And for the family of Paul Vaughn, son of Pauline Schotolsky, Paul died this last week. Have you heard the word proclaimed? Let us pray for ourselves, for all the faithful, and for all people as they have need. For all people that they may have faith in Christ and heed the voice of God calling by his word. For the church, that the people of God may pursue righteousness with peace and joy in their hearts. And for all pastors and the ministry of word and sacrament, and for all vocations to the ministry, that the lives of God's people may bring down to his praise and glory. Let us pray to the Lord. Glory to God. For our president, Congress, governor, and all civic leaders in their pursuit of peace and unity. For all judges and magistrates in their pursuit of justice with mercy, and for those who protect us from violence and preserve order here and everywhere, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all noble professions and for the flourishing of the arts and music, for favorable weather and the fruits of the earth, and for those unemployed, the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and all people in need, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for all families and children, single adults and youth, for those who teach and those who learn, that they may advance in wisdom and grace, and for the catechumens and those who teach the faith to them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For victims of disaster and for those stricken by illness or infirmity, for the aged and infirm, as well as those in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, for those who grieve the loss of those whom they love, and those who meet with sudden death,
Especially we pray for Sheila,
Scott, Jim, Kippy, Morgan, and Paul's family.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the work of God's kingdom in this place, for our faithful support of the church and our renewal of parish life through the means of grace, for our communion this day upon the life of the embodied blood of Christ, and for our growth in grace that we may attain to the full stature of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Be merciful to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Grant to us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and be steadfast in the confession of Christ. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it all. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Thank you.
and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith and in life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Let us bless the Lord.